four scientists at the Environmental Protection Agency have chosen to become whistleblowers, sharing documents suggesting that the agency might not be so protective, and siding instead with chemical companies. At issue are chemicals potentially dangerous to human health being approved without the full vetting of government scientists. Sharon Lerner broke the story for the investigative news site The Intercept. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, Sharon, these whistleblowers who spoke to you are scientists who vet chemicals that the companies want the government's approval to sell, and they spoke to you about what they call tampering of the chemical assessments. Tell me about this tampering.
When a chemical gets assessed, the scientists at EPA need to look at the data and find out what is known about the chemicals and ensure that the public won't be exposed to dangers or beyond what they call beyond a reasonable danger. And what they told me was that in dozens of cases, they faced pressure to downplay the dangers that they had evidence of. And they gave me many documents, as you mentioned in the introduction, and showed me lots of evidence that this was the case.
So is the upshot that some of these chemicals, where there was pressure on these scientists, they actually got to market?
Yes, some of them did, for sure.
Do you have an example or two of these chemicals that presumably are with us today?
Unfortunately, I don't. One of the really frustrating things about this situation is the scientists from the EPA are not legally allowed to identify the chemicals because the companies have identified their identities, the chemical identities, as confidential business information. So I can tell you the class in some cases. And some of them are PFAS chemicals, which are water contaminants, or a number of other chemicals that are in household use. But unfortunately, I can't identify them because I actually don't know their identity. They weren't allowed to share that with me.
Hmm. Well, let's hear a little bit of audio that your team at The Intercept did in one of its interviews with scientist Sarah Gallagher. She's here talking about finding certain risks to chemicals and her manager's intervening to change those assessments. Let's take a listen.
So Martin and I would perform the toxicology assessment, and then someone would do the calculations with the exposure numbers to figure out if there were risks. And managers would tell those people to make certain changes. And since at times that manager might have a background in toxicology and their arguments might appear reasonable, people might make those changes. But then we were finding out about these changes after the fact, and we could give them five or six reasons why that was wrong. I would send messages sometimes explaining to colleagues, hey, you changed this. Why did you change this? This is wrong. Here's why. Here's a link to a journal article. And they just wouldn't respond.
So Sharon, what's happening here? Are the bosses going around the scientists to get these chemicals approved?
Yes. In many cases, the scientists told me that without their knowledge, changes had been made to their work. Sometimes after the fact, their managers would go in and change assessments that they had already signed off on.
Wow. And you report that these scientists tell you that if they didn't kind of play along here, that they could be punished. Let's hear a little bit more tape from Sarah Gallagher.
I was removed from the program in July 2020, but while I was there, we routinely were put down in front of our peers. We were being told that we were not good at our job, and I had heard from some colleagues that they really were impacted by what they saw, and it made them feel less confident or safe to speak out.
So Sharon Lerner, do you sense that this is a pattern here of intimidating or silencing these scientists?
It does appear to be. So I've written two stories in this series so far. First one was based on four whistleblowers who, and that's the majority, there are, I believe, seven in their division. So, and four of them, not all at the same time, had worked in this new chemicals division. So that's a hefty portion there. And then since that first story, others have also spoken out, not with their names. The first four were named, but in my second story, I had five people, the four plus another, and I'm working on another story now that has even more.
Wow. So what's happened to these scientists? Some of them have given their names, some of them less so. Are they still on their jobs? Have they been kicked out of their jobs? And what's their situation?
Well, they're all still working at EPA, but three of the four have been moved out of that division that I was writing about, the new chemicals program. So of the original four. So they all want to continue working at EPA. And I should note that these are not the kind of folks who you might expect, you know, they don't fit the sort of troublemaker stereotype. You know, they really thought long and hard about coming out. And all of them told me that they were speaking about this publicly because they felt that they had no choice. These are people who chose to work in environmental science because they wanted to protect the public from toxic exposures. And they felt that the American public faced a real public health threat. One of the really shocking things, pieces of evidence that was shared with me, was some audio of a meeting that took place at EPA where it was with a software engineer consultant who was helping them systematize and kind of improve the systems that deal with the new chemical risk assessment process. And in the meeting that we have audio of, one of the managers actually asks for a little button for the consultant to create a little button that will enable her to dismiss the concerns of the scientists like in a single click. And so that's what you'll hear now is the discussion that they're having about installing this button.
Yes, we'd like a button or something, and then we'll assign whoever that person or persons may be to override everything.
Okay, override meaning that this turns to green.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, perfect. Now, these managers, these are not political appointees, right? These are career scientists accused of doing these things. So this is not a matter of what presidents in power. Is this a broader kind of institutional issue at the EPA?
I'm afraid it is. I mean, all four of the folks in the first group told me that this has worsened and intensified during the Trump administration, particularly in 2018 and 2019. But yes, many of these issues persist under the current administration. And you're right that the problem seems to lie not at the level of the political appointees, but at the level of these scientists or managers who have been working for a very long time at the agency and often very intimately connected to the industry that makes the chemicals that they're assessing.
And I want to ask you about that industry. I mean, this goes to, you know, what many call industry capture of these government regulators. Behind all this, I presume there is explicit or maybe not so explicit pressure by industry in this picture?
Yes. Yeah. And in some cases, I have accounts of, you know, industry companies that make chemicals being angered by a decision of scientists that their chemical poses a hazard. And then they call for a meeting, you know, and in one case, a company called for a meeting. The representative of the company had recently worked at EPA and had gone from EPA to this company. And so new folks at the agency arranged a meeting with the agency staff to which the scientist who had found the hazard was not invited. So they had a meeting, chose not to invite the scientists who had alerted everybody else to the problem. And when that scientist was absent, kind of erased his work from the assessment, and it went through, you know, and basically the industry was able to change and reverse its findings.
Wow. So going forward, I guess, first of all, Kness, has there been any official response from the EPA to your reporting?
Yeah, the EPA has said that they take these allegations really seriously and that they're investigating them. I know that members of Congress are also looking at this. And the Biden administration has been very clear. President Biden and Administrator Regan have both said very clearly that they take scientific integrity really seriously. and that they want to make sure that the science leads the way at EPA. So they're saying the right things, and I believe that the Inspector General is now looking into this, so hopefully it will be addressed.
Sharon Lerner, investigative reporter for The Intercept, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we also reached out to the EPA for comment on these whistleblower allegations. The agency said, quote, "It is critical that all EPA decisions are informed by rigorous scientific information and standards, and that allegations of retaliation and retribution against scientists," quote, "have been reported to the EPA Office of Inspector General." The agency added that its scientific integrity team is working on changes to prevent similar issues in the future. We will continue to watch this story, and you can read Sharon Lerner's reporting at hereandnow.org.